All right, welcome to the Free Stretch here on JoeBucksFan.com. I am Bobby Fenton, Wild Card Weekend edition of the show, as we are set for the fifth year in a row to watch our Tampa Bay Buccaneers play in a playoff game. This one will be at home, just like most of them have been, with winning four straight division titles. And this time it's the Washington Commanders that come to town. Prime time, Sunday Night Football, 8 p.m. And you can watch that on NBC. Of course, up until kickoff, you've got Joe Bucks Fan to keep you covered. And thanks to the Joes for giving me the platform to do the show. As always, single best place for anything Bucks related, TV, internet, radio. Everything is all right here. And I am honored, especially in this week of all weeks, as we embark on the second season. And you say, well, even if you win, Bobby, it's only four games. If you win them all, it's less than a quarter of the actual season. Well, in number of games played, yes. In terms of how we think back, and I'm talking about a year from now, I'm talking about 3-4 years from now, I'm talking about 10 years from now, I'm talking about 20 years from now and beyond. When I say, hey, what about those 2024 Tampa Bay Buccaneers? The first thing you're going to think of, okay, it's not going to be anything that already happened in 17 games worth. It's going to be what is about to happen right now, for better or worse. And that's the beauty of the playoffs. It's like Bill Belichick said, there was that one, there's been so many documentaries, I don't even remember which one it was. But there was this one, like, it wasn't Hard Knocks or anything like that, but it was like one of those type of things where cameras were following the Patriots around. I think it might have been the 2009 season, I don't remember exactly what season. And if I can find it, I'll post it on my Twitter page. But they basically like followed the Patriots around. There was cameras inside their meetings and everything, and Belichick was given a speech, and then finally the regular season ended. This is the week of their playoff game. And he goes, you know, this isn't like another football game. I know some coaches try to tell you guys, hey, it's just another football game. He's like, it's not, okay? This isn't, oh, hey, we didn't get it done. Let's go watch the film. Let's go see what happened. We'll go get them next week. We'll walk through it in practice and figure it out on Wednesday. He said, someone's season is going to end today. He said, someone is done. And one bad play, one drop pass, one missed block, one bad penalty, one dumb mental mistake, one anything is going to ruin it for all of us. And that's the playoffs. And I got goosebumps the first time I saw him say that. And it's so true. There's nothing like the playoffs. And people talk about all the different sports and about who has the best playoffs. And I'm a big hockey fan. I love the Stanley Cup playoffs. There's, you know, very little like that. Obviously, MLB, you play that whole six-month season, and you get into the routine of like, okay, well, get them tomorrow. And then all of a sudden, everything rides on a best 2 out of 3 or something like that. Those have intensity in their own way. And with football, obviously, even the regular season kind of feels playoff-ish because you don't play series. You don't play a million games. The sample size is small. But still, when you get to January, and you get down to now 14 teams, and there's only 13 football games left, folks. And like Bill Belichick said, every other sport's got those series. Football doesn't have any series. Sunday night at 8 p.m., they're going to kick it off, and 3 hours after that, someone's going to be done for good in the 2024 season. Obviously, we hope it's not us, but either way, you got to have a cold, dark, lifeless lump in your chest where your heart's supposed to be if that doesn't get you fired up. And I can't wait, not just for Sunday night, the whole thing. I mean, I'm going to take my time with this weekend because 2 games on Saturday, 3 games on Sunday, of which we are the third. Then, of course, the Monday nighter between the Vikings and the Rams. And it is appointment television for me. It's one of my favorite weekends of the year. The next 2 weekends, you got Wild Card Weekend where there's 6 games. The divisional round where there's 4 games, which then includes the number one seeds who are off this week. Those 2 weekends, to me, for a football fan, are as good as it gets. It's obviously even better when your team is involved. But whether or not, I mean, the Bucs game is 1 of 6 on Sunday night. I'm going to be dialed into all 6 of them. I love it. I can't get enough of it. It's so much fun. And we are there. And it's so rewarding when you follow a team and they get this far, because even getting this far is something. I mean, I know we all want more. Nobody's satisfied. The Bucks aren't satisfied. If you ask the players or the coaches or the front office or the ownership, they're not satisfied. Us as fans, of course, we're not satisfied. But you still need to take a little bit of stock every time your team, if you're a fan like I am, I'm a fan going back to almost literally the beginning. I was born in 1980. I've told the story many times. I've been going to Bucks games since my pregnant mother was walking around the Sombrero in 1979, going to the Chiefs playoff clincher, the Eagles' first playoff game, the Rams' NFC championship game. I was at all those in utero and never looked back as a Bucks fan. It's the only thing I've been a fan of my whole life, because we didn't have the Lightning and the Rays till later. But anyway, my point is, when you look back and you get to the first round of the playoffs and you're thinking about, oh, I want to win, we go to the divisional round, Super Bowl, all that stuff, just hang on a second, okay? This is the 49th season of Buccaneer football. Next year will be the 50th. I'm not sure what they're going to do, but it'll be the 50th season. This is the 10th division championship in the history of the Buccaneers, fourth in a row. They only had six before 2021, and they've almost doubled that in just the past 4 years. Of course, it's the first time they've won four division titles in a row. And the reason it's the first time is because it was the first time they had ever won two division titles in a row, when they did it in 2021 and 2022. Then when they won again in 2023, it was the first time they'd won three division titles in a row, and now this year is the fourth. And what happened the last time the Bucs didn't win a division title? All they did that year was win the Super Bowl instead. So the last five seasons have been kind of a golden age in Buccaneer football history. There's been two real golden ages, in my opinion, and that was 1997 through about 2007. They won, they got their first playoff appearance in a decade and a half in 97, then eventually won the division in 99, NFC Championship game, but then won the Super Bowl in 02, won a couple more division championships after that. That was one kind of golden age. This is the second one, starting in 2020 when the Bucs picked up Tom Brady, and still in progress, and I hope it keeps on like this. But just understand, don't ever take it for granted. If you're like me and you grew up in the 80s and 90s watching the Bucs not make the playoffs but lose double-digit games literally your whole life till you were a senior in high school, then you don't have to be told this, because you did. Like for me, like, I'll never take it for granted. I couldn't even spell playoffs when I was a kid. And now my son, who's in seventh grade, all he knows is, yeah, Bucks win the South, Bucks won the Super Bowl, Bucks are in home playoff games all the damn time. He doesn't know any different. My daughter either. That's all they've grown up with, which I think is great. But I'm kind of, in a way, a little bit glad I grew up the way I did, because it taught me about loyalty and it taught me to appreciate the good things and the good times. And I don't know if I could go back and change. I don't think I would go back and change anything, even though I remember all those games in the 80s and the 90s. And I was a Sombrero kid. I was at the Sombrero all the time and going to games and never really thinking. I didn't even care about the playoffs. I just wanted the Bucs to win that day. I remember, like, the one time they beat the Raiders when the guy, Cole Ford, for the Raiders missed, like, a 20-yard field goal. And we were, like, hugging and running up and down the stairs, high-fiving people. And the Bucs were, like, 1-8. At the time, I didn't remember that, but, like, it didn't matter. Like, I was so happy. I just didn't care, you know? So I never want to lose that childlike innocence. You shouldn't either. Appreciate this, okay? 10 in 49 years, almost one every 5 years. Which, hey, I know that works out mathematically to roughly what you should win randomly. I mean, there used to be five teams in a division for the Bucs' first, 20-some-odd years of existence. Now, since 2002, there's been four teams in a division. For Tampa as a whole, if you count the Lightning and the Rays, this Bucs season is the 107th. Total season combined for the Bucks, Lightning, and Rays. The Lightning have four division titles, which seems low, but they've got as many Stanley Cups as they do division titles, and the Rays have four division titles. So out of 107 seasons, 18 times Tampa teams have won their division. That works out to about once every 6 years, in case you're wondering. So here we go. Home playoff game on Sunday night against the Commanders, and this is a team that we opened up with in week one. Everybody knows about it. Everybody remembers the 37-20 win. That was Jaden Daniels' first NFL start. That was Dan Quinn's first game as the head coach of the Commanders. A lot has changed since then. I remember after that week one game, do you guys remember, like, the Bucs just throttling them and all of us going, okay, well, hey, that's a good win. But, you know, the Commanders are probably one of the bottom five teams in the league. We shouldn't get too excited, we told ourselves. The Commanders suck. That's not really a good measuring stick. We'll see next week when we go to Detroit. And the Bucs did win that Detroit game as well. But it also turned out the Commanders were a 12-5 team. and Jaden Daniels can flat out play. And he presents a big challenge on Sunday night. Bucks, again, this was his first start, but the Buccaneers did a pretty good job against him. Certainly didn't throw the ball much in that first game. He did run for 88 yards and a touchdown in his NFL debut. And in fact, he went on to have like 800 and almost 900 yards rushing on the season. He was the leading rusher for the Commanders. And him running and him using his legs is obviously a big factor. Now, this Buccaneer defense. Actually, you know what? Let me stop for a second. We're going to talk about the Commanders-Bucks game more in depth in a little bit on the show. I just want to say a couple of things real quick about the Saints game. And normally on this show, we recap the prior week's game, then we look ahead to the next game. Obviously, when the regular season just ended and we're in the playoffs now, it's all playoffs all the time. Nobody cares about the Saints game anymore. They just wanted the Bucks to get it done, and they did. But I want to point something out real quick, okay? Because there are a lot of people who constantly rip Todd Bowles, and I don't think he's perfect, but I can't even mention anything about the Bucks on Twitter or on Blue Sky, like when I'm watching during the games and tweeting or posting stuff. And right as a response to it, doesn't even matter what the tweet was about. One of the first responses will always be, well, you know, with Bowles, they're lucky to even get this far. It's amazing they've been able to overcome Bowles as head coach. He needs to go immediately, blah, blah, blah. Todd Bowles really sucks. Too bad even if we win, we're probably going to lose later on because Bowles, 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 Bowles. Guys, all right? I understand the division's not good. I think Todd Bowles' record now as the Bucs coach in the regular season is 27-24. It's hardly Canton-worthy stuff. I get it. Okay? So I know it's kind of not telling the whole story when you just say, oh, four division titles in a row. I know that. I know that, okay? But four division titles in a row, okay, has figured out every time how to get the team where it needed to get to one way or the other. And even this year, this is best season so far. Usually we're 9-8, something like that. 10-7, okay? Which is not, you know, everybody wants to be 13-4. I do too. We all do. You want to be one of the best teams. 10-7 is definitely better than average, and it's playoff worthy this year. But 10-7, when fully healthy, wins over the Commanders, like I just mentioned, wins over the Detroit Lions, wins over the Philadelphia Eagles. The two top seeds in the NFC, the Bucs beat both, and they drubbed the Eagles. I know they didn't have A.J. Brown that day. The point is, and then not just that, the Chiefs, overtime on the road on Monday night, came within a hair of winning that game. The Bucs have played with and beaten the best teams in the National Football League when healthy. And even when not in the Chiefs game, they weren't healthy for. They haven't been healthy since, really. Okay? They went into the bye. Before the bye, and we said, well, that was kind of, I know it was a tough schedule in the first half, but that was a little bit of a disappointment. Losing the two to Atlanta was certainly disappointing, not getting one of those, and generally putting themselves behind the eight ball where they had to win 6 out of 7. And we said it. We said, hey, I don't care how weak the schedule is. It's tough to win 6 out of 7 in the NFL. Even if you're playing bad teams the whole way through, you're going to get got a couple times. And they went out and they did it. They went 6-1. And I didn't do a show. I apologize, by the way. I didn't do a show Christmas week or last week. I was traveling. And I meant to do one. I brought my laptop with me, but I couldn't find the time. Should have worked harder to find the time. That's on me. But we haven't talked since before the Dallas game. You know, that Dallas game was really disappointing. It felt like the Bucs had a bunch of chances to win. They were really sloppy, and we were all pissed at them. But that was the one, okay? You got one. We said before the bye, they can maybe lose one, but they got to go 10-7. Well, they did it, okay? And they did it not in small part. I know the Bucs defense hasn't been gangbusters, but the Bucs defense, including Sunday, since the bye, 7 games, has allowed 26 second-half points. They have clamped down when they had to. And this is with all these injuries. You got Josh Hayes running around. I hate to keep picking on Josh Hayes, but you got Josh Hayes running around back there. You got backup safeties. Winfield, nowhere to be found. He's back this week. We'll talk about the injury situation in a minute. Jordan Whitehead's been out. Then he gets in a car accident after he comes back for one game. You know, you're playing guys off the street. You're playing practice squad guys. You're just trying to cobble it together any way you can. And they've gotten the damn thing done, all right? And that counts for something. And I love Liam Cohen, and I don't want him to leave. And I know he's interviewing with the Jaguars, and there's other stuff going on, which is good. That should be happening. If you're a good team, your assistants are going to get interviews. But my point is, you guys think we're firing Bowles just to fire Bowles? I mean, I don't know what's going to happen with Liam Cohen And, of course, nobody wants him to walk out the building. But I guarantee you the Glazers aren't thinking. I know some people say, oh, well, they're going to fire him to keep Cohen. I don't think even that's going to happen. But if it did, that'd be there is nothing to recommend firing him just because you think, hey, we're just going to fire him. We don't like the job he's done. Okay? And again, I get upset sometimes. I'm not saying he's perfect or anything like that. But and he's come a long way as far as game decision-making. The play on Sunday, the reason I wanted to go back to talking about Sunday before we talk about the Eagles real quick, okay? The Commanders. The reason I wanted to talk about that Saints game. The play where it felt like the game turned, where you went from worrying that we were going to lose to feeling like, okay, I think we're going to win. Anybody remember what that play was? It was the Baker Mayfield touchdown pass to Jalen McMillan, rolling out, throwing on the run, a freaking... I couldn't decide what was better, the throw or the catch, because Mayfield pocket collapses. He gets out of there like he's done so well all season long. Rolls to his right, thinking maybe he's going to run. Then he just turns his hips as he's running and just fires a frozen rope straight to the pylon. Like he put it in the exact spot above the pylon it had to be. And then Jalen McMillan comes in there, drags both feet, makes the catch, goes to the ground. I mean, an unbelievable play, okay? Does anybody remember? Because the play was so good, it's easy to forget. Does anybody remember the down and distance on that play? I'll give you a second to try and think back. It was 4th and 8, okay? It was a spot in the game, and there was still time left. And even I was thinking they're probably going to punt. Yeah, I'm always around midfield. You always want to go for it on 4th and short, 4th and 1, 4th and 2, even 4th and 3 or 4. You're going 4th and 8. I was like, okay, you know, I think we can stop them. Maybe they'll punt here. I was hoping they'd go for it, but I didn't really think they were, and I wasn't going to blow up at Todd Bowles if they didn't. He went for it. That's not something Todd Bowles would have done probably a few years ago, but he went for it. It was the right thing to do, even if they hadn't gotten the first down, let alone scored a touchdown. The numbers do bear out that it was a go situation. But if he hadn't, and the reason that most coaches don't go for these things, even when the numbers say they should, is because if he hadn't, no one would have said a peep about that. I mean, that was not a situation where you're like, I can't believe this guy didn't go for it. It was a situation where if you punt and it doesn't work out, you don't have to really answer for that after the game or in the paper on Monday morning. No one's going to go back and say, oh, you should have gone for that 4th and 8. No. But he did go for it, and he went balls to the wall, and the Bucs made a play. And I know Baker Mayfield didn't have his best day. The offense as a whole, the first half was an atrocity. I was getting very upset. You can go back and look at my Twitter feed, at Bobby Game Day, BobbyGameDay, Bobby Game Day. And same thing if you want to email me, BobbyGameDay@yahoo.com. But you can go back and look at my account, and I was tweeting things. People are ripping the defense and this, that, and the other. I said, hey, you know, the offense hasn't done a damn thing today, right? Like, we'd probably be fine in this game if the offense would get off their ass and do something. And they hadn't in the first half. But that 4th and 8, not just the play Mayfield made, not just the play Jalen McMillan made, the decision that Todd Bowles made was a big part of why we're sitting here right now talking about a game on Sunday night. If they punt there, do they still win? Maybe. Maybe even probably. I'm not sure. But to go out and do that, you can miss me, as the kids say. You can miss me with all the fire Todd Bowles talk. And he's getting a little, he's not going to be the Bucs head coach, 5 years from now. And maybe not even 2 or 3 years from now. I mean, that's probably a safe thing to say no matter what happens. But I think everybody always wants to fire the coach, and that's not a thing right now, okay? And it doesn't matter, every week you want to win, and every week you win, then what does that make you want to do? Just win more the next week. But sometimes you got to stop and just take a little bit of stock in things and say, okay, hey, this is pretty good. And I think 4 division titles is pretty good. I think not just going to the playoffs, they won a playoff game last year against the Eagles, who were a favorite, all right? And then they went to Detroit. It's a situation that they were not a favorite and gave them every last little bit of what they could handle before Detroit eventually won the game. This has not been a team that's disappointed much. And let me put it this way. It's not been a team that's disappointed much the bigger the stage. Usually when the Bucs disappoint, it's from playing down to their competition or something like that. But they haven't had that problem in the playoffs. And so as we get ready for this game on Sunday night, and it is, yes, Sunday night, prime time, Bucks lost all four of their primetime games this year. If you go back to last year, they have lost six primetime games in a row. Regular season, of course. There's one exception there, you might remember, and we just talked about it. It was the primetime Monday night game in the playoffs last year, in which they played one of their best games of the year and sent the Eagles home. But regular season category, 0-6 for their last six, and all four this year were losses, and so now we're in another one. I don't know how much it matters. The playoffs are a different animal than the regular season. And it's, every game, even the game, it's Saturday at 4:30 is a primetime game because everybody's watching every game, and I don't know. Some people think there's something to it. Bulls teams in primetime always suck, blah, blah, blah. Other people maybe think it's randomness. I'm not sure. I don't know. I don't care. You know, I'm not thinking like when the schedule came out and I saw that we had Sunday night, oh, no, the Bucks in primetime. That doesn't register with me. I don't think it means anything, but, you know. It is just something to think about, I guess, for some people. So what do we have in this game against the Commanders? Well, at least, at the very least, with our offensive attack, and we know how well the Bucs have been balanced, and we know how well the running game has done this year. The Bucs, in fact, this was a cool stat I saw. The Bucs, 5.25 yards per carry this season. That's third in the NFL. But more importantly than that, it went up 1.81 yards per carry from the 2023 season. That 1.8 yards per carry increase is the largest year-over-year increase in all of the NFL in all of the Super Bowl era. No team has increased their yards per carry from one year to the next by that large of a margin at all since the early 60s, since they started keeping. I don't even know how you look that up. I mean, do you look at every team, how they, you know, I don't, I guess spreadsheets and formulas can find these things instead of somebody going team by team and year by year. But that stat was posted, and I actually forgot to look at who posted it. I'd give them credit. So this is a Bucks team that has run the ball well. It's the biggest difference, Baker Mayfield said, from last year to this year. So what do we have in the Washington Commanders? A very, very poor run defense. That's good to see. That feels like strength on weakness. We'll take that every time. And so, you know, I expect Bucky Irving to be featured prominently. I expect Rashad White, little by little, Bucky's kind of taken over as the feature guy. And even Sean Tucker, you know, all these guys on Sunday night are going to have a chance, you'd like to think, to do some damage. Obviously, the Commanders have a pretty good offensive attack of their own. And with the Commanders, you know, the Bucs defense has been suspect passing-wise. Their run defense is, again, top five in the NFL. Vita Vea, those guys up front, Kalijah Kancey, everybody, Logan Hall, and the linebackers, Levante David, you know, they've done a hell of a job in run defense. So this is a game where the Bucs defense obviously is going to have a light shined on it, just like always in the passing game. And can they reel in Jaden Daniels? Can they reel in, with the Buccaneers secondary being the way it is, those Commanders receivers like Terry McLaurin? Here was a stat I found interesting regarding what the Bucs defense has been doing lately. And we know Todd Bowles, you know, he leans blitz just in general, but it's been more than that, especially with all the injuries in the secondary and the Bucs realizing that they can't ask a beaten-up secondary with multiple backups playing in important spots to cover guys for 5 seconds at a time. So what have they been doing? Well, from week 12 onward, this is since the bye, the Bucs blitzed at the highest rate in the NFL, and not just at the highest rate in the NFL, the Bucs blitzed at an astronomical rate of 48.6%. And that's overall, okay? And that's a huge number. Like the second, I'll get to it in a second here, actually. So 48.6 blitz rate, most in the NFL since week 12. That's every down. If you further boil it down to late downs, third and fourth down, these are prime blitzing situations for NFL defenses. And these numbers are courtesy of Nate Tice, who writes about the NFL for Yahoo Sports. On late downs, the Bucs blitzed a full two-thirds of the time, 66.7%. That is literally not just an abnormally high rate for the season, and even it's not even for Bowles a high rate, it's a historically high rate. The highest late down blitz rate since 2016, so we're going back like 8 seasons here, was 66.8%. And that's where the Bucs are at 66.7%. And the next highest isn't even the 60s, it's the Browns at 55.4%. So the Ravens in 2019 and the Bucs in 2024, blitzing on late downs, not just more than anybody else, but at a rate a full 10% higher than anybody else. And if you took the season-long late down blitz rate, it's still one of the highest in that time frame since 2016. But just going since week 12, it's the highest anybody's ever seen recorded. I mean, the Bucs are just going since the bye. And I get it. I mean, you have to figure out ways to dial up pressure. I know they'd love to not have to do it. I know they'd love to be able to get it with their front five guys, but they really haven't much. Yaya Diaby, he was the NFC Defensive Player of the Week. He's come on a little bit late in the season. And, you know, you hope that continues. But overall, the pass rush, there's a reason they signed Shaq Barrett out of retirement, okay? It's not because everything was, you know, rosy with the pass rush. Let's put it that way. And it's one of the biggest priorities in the offseason, one of the biggest priorities in the draft. It's the straw, I always say, it's the straw that stirs the drink. Everything becomes possible when you can get after the quarterback. And when you can't, it makes the possible seem impossible. It's the beginning of everything. And the Bucs have struggled with it, so they've had to get creative. And Todd Bowles' answer to that, well, we're just going to blitz the ever-living hell out of everybody all the time. And hey, the defense hasn't been great. I know, you know, we know that. The secondary's had their issues. You know, the middle of the field, the middle linebackers and pass coverage have had their issues. But the Bucs found a way in those final seven games. And again, I know the competition level wasn't huge, but it got a little bit tougher toward the end. You know, Dallas wasn't bad. The Chargers, they should have been lighting up. We had a huge win there and didn't let them do anything. Anyway, 26 second half points in seven games total, you know, and that's pretty good. And it was enough to get the Bucs where they are. Is it enough to get the Bucs further? That's what remains to be seen. Looking at the injury report here, because at the very least with the playoffs starting, maybe we can get a little help, you know, and it looks like they will. Antoine Winfield, I'm recording this show on Thursday. It's early afternoon Thursday, so they're at it practice. A couple of the Bucs writers, Greg Allman of Fox Sports and Rick Stroud of the Tampa Bay Times, have been tweeting. Antoine Winfield was out there today, came out late, but he should be good. He was out there yesterday during the walkthrough, and Todd Bowles even said if this had been a regular practice, he'd be full go. So good. Jamel Dean practiced. That helps. Tyke Smith missed a day for personal reasons, not for injury. Whatever it was, I hope everything's fine. But either way, he was out there again today. Logan Hall, groin injury, appeared on the injury report earlier this week. And again, by the time you hear this, I'm recording it on Thursday. You may be hearing this on Friday or Saturday or even Sunday, and you may know more than I'm saying right now by then. But Logan Hall came out late but was out there. Mike Edwards wasn't out there today. He had that quad thing that when he tried to make that interception in the open field on Sunday. Cade Otton trending in the right direction. Sterling Shepard had a foot thing, but I think he's okay. In other words, you can at least put together a passable secondary here. If you've got Antoine Winfield back, that means you can use him at safety. We'll see about Mike Edwards. But Kayvon Merriweather's actually been pretty okay to me. I don't think that's like a huge... I mean, he's done a good job. I'd love to have Izzy in. It sucks that Izzy's gone. It sucks that Whitehead's gone. It really, Izzy's. I really like some of the things he did. It's really a shame he can't play in the playoffs. But at least if you have Winfield back, now you've got him and Merriweather, and we'll see about Mike Edwards. At corner, again, same thing. You just wanted to have Dean be able to go and not have to start Josh Hayes. Now you've got Dean. Of course, Zion McCollum's been doing a good job. He's been the one guy who seems to have not had injury issues, at least so far, or major ones at least. And then you've got a reasonable back four with Tyke Smith at the nickel when he's in the game. So, okay, we can deal with that. I mean, let's put it this way. That's a hell of a lot better than some of the secondaries the Bucs have had to roll out lately. So I'll take it. And then offensively, they look to be pretty healthy. Again, we'll see about Cade Otton. Although Devin Culp, the Bucs draft, again, you know, was awesome. I mean, Devin Culp down there in the lower rounds, never mind Bucky Irving in the fourth round, never mind Graham Barton, the first rounder who's starting. I mean, just up top to bottom, a phenomenal draft by Jason Light. And it's just really nice. I don't know what's going to happen Sunday. They might lose Sunday, okay? I have no idea. It's really nice feeling like you have a well-run organization. Like, it's like a security thing, you know? It's like being in a good marriage or having a strong friendship with someone that you don't worry about the little ups and downs. You know you're going to be okay because you're with a person who you can trust, who you know does the right thing. And even if you might have a little spat here and there, you're not with some Yahoo fly-by-night, you know, unpredictable. Like, someone reliable, stable. That's what being a Bucks fan is like right now. Like, we have a good, well-run organization. It's really refreshing, I think. It's not perfect, but you trust the people in charge. It feels like there's adults in the room. That's a really good feeling for your sports teams. It's the same way I always talk about, I know we're going through a lot of bad PR stuff and some negative feelings with the Rays and Stu Sternberg, but strictly from a baseball standpoint, just talking baseball, it's the same way I feel about the Rays. Like, Eric Neander, you know, Pete Bendix before he left, all the way back to Andrew Friedman and everybody else in between. Like, the Rays have always had adults in the room running the organization, and they're a well-run organization on the field. Now, I know the PR stuff and the stadium issues is a separate issue. And for that matter, the Lightning as well. Same. I mean, we are very fortunate, especially given the histories of all three of our franchises, that all three of our franchises in the last, you know, 10 years or more have been pretty well run. I mean, you really, as far as the decision makers and the people in the front office and the suits, no complaints about any of that. And same goes for the Bucks right now. So you want to see that manifest itself on the field, of course. And, you know, who knows if it'll happen or not on Sunday night. I was happy. I mean, this past weekend, week 18, there was a list of things you hoped would happen. You hoped what? One, Bucks win, clinch their playoff berth. Didn't have to worry about Atlanta then and all that stuff. They did it. All right. Mike Evans, the 1,000-yard. That was, oh, I didn't even talk about that yet, the Mike Evans thing. That was crazy. Okay, let me talk about this for a second. Because you know they wanted to get Mike Evans' numbers, but they also had to win the game, and they couldn't really like make that a sideshow when they're trying to literally clinch a playoff berth, and Carolina and Atlanta are trading haymakers. And we didn't know Atlanta was going to lose most of that time. Like, during the game, we were still worried Atlanta was going to win, and we had to win. So you can't call plays and just say, oh, okay, let's just get Evans. You got to just call your normal offense and hope he gets it. And they did definitely get close, but they came up a little short, right? He was 5 yards short. I remember the Bucks had the ball, and they were like on the 12-yard line. I'm thinking to myself, if they even get to the 4-yard line, that eliminates Mike Evans from getting 1,000 yards, right? Because even if they hit him for a 4-yard touchdown, he's a yard short, and then the Saints get the ball, and we probably never see it again, and that's that. So anyway, the Bucks scored, and Evans is still 5 short, and I'm thinking, okay, well, maybe if they either, I mean, we don't want the Saints to score, obviously. We don't want that. We could lose. But maybe we can stop them with some time left. But even then, I'm thinking, you're supposed to take a knee. It'd be crazy to throw a pass in that situation, right? Now, I was texting my friends back and forth, and I tweeted about it too. And, you know, you have to weigh these things. Obviously, you're not going to do something stupid that puts the game, the whole situation in general, in jeopardy. But there's ways. And I could tell, you could see on the cameras, if you were at the game, you could probably see it looking at the sideline. Liam Cohen and Todd Bowles were kind of talking and trying to figure out how to do this. And it wasn't one of those things where, oh, how important is this? Should we bother? It was important. And I'll tell you why it was important, okay, number one. I mean, it's important just because of Mike Evans. I mean, Mike Evans deserved it, so just for his standpoint. But number two, look around the league. You got guys, like the Cowboys are benching guys to save $500,000. You saw it in a few other places, guys getting nickeled and dimed and squeezed out of potential bonuses for playing time or catches. And that happened in a few instances. The most notably was the richest franchise in the freaking league, the Cowboys, still trying to rub nickels together and keep Cooper Rush from getting any extra money. So when, and here it goes back to what I just talked about, right? A well-run organization that people want to be a part of. When players around the league and in your own locker room that already play for you see that your team is willing, not just willing, but going out of their way to help a guy not just hit a number for a personal record, but the $3 million that comes with it, okay? I mean, there's a lot of NFL teams, probably more than most, more than half, that would have said, don't let him get that $3 million. And not only did the Bucks let him do it, they went out of their way to make sure he got it. And that's good for the Bucks locker room, like right now. It's also good for everybody else around the league to see that, for free agents, knowing this is a place you want to come be, knowing this is a place run by good people. And I've ripped the Glazers plenty of times. I mean, the Glazers have been owners forever since I was a kid now. But all through my radio career, there have been plenty of times when I've been critical of the Glazers, like all of us, but you got to tip your hat, man. I mean, that was something that's a big deal. That's something that's a very rare, small little, you know, category of things that would qualify as making it acceptable to throw a pass when you're up by 8 with a minute left and the other team doesn't have any timeouts, because that's borderline coaching malpractice in normal situations. But they drew something up that was safe, that wasn't going to get them beat or picked off or anything, and they got the ball to Evans. And what a moment, right? I mean, if you were at the game, people that were – I didn't go this past Sunday, but people who were at the game – you know, said it was the loudest roar of the whole, it was, there wasn't that much going on, you know, most of the day on Sunday until the second half. But when he was able to get that, and you know Evans, how he's been very, you know, he tries not to talk about it much. He hasn't made it about himself, but you also knew inside he really wanted it, and then it all came kind of flooding out when he finally got it. That was really cool. That was a good moment for the Bucks. And again, I don't know what's going to happen on Sunday night, win or lose. That was still a cool moment, and I'm glad it happened. And so, you know, but yeah, you're throwing the ball when you're up with a minute left and the other team doesn't have any timeouts. And so, you know, it wasn't like a two-score game, like, oh, whatever. It was a one-score game, maybe. If they catch the ball and they score, then all of a sudden, you know, it was risky. But they dialed something up, and that was really cool. And I tip my hat to the Bucks organization, because if they hadn't at least tried to do it, you know, then you have the opposite effect. You could really, you know, that could lead to some bad feelings in the locker room. Not just from Mike. I don't think Mike Evans would have been that way. But, you know, guys notice that stuff. And that means a lot to players to feel like they have an organization behind them and not just treating them like objects or treating them like cogs in a wheel. I know we think, oh, NFL players make millions of dollars, but they can still have the same issues that labor has in any other profession, you know, where you kind of feel like the big man up top is trying to keep you down or whatever. So it's nice that that didn't happen. And it was really cool. I hope it helps the Bucks not just this week, but going forward, you know, reputation-wise around the league, because they deserved that. I mean, that was something that they deserved to have a good reputation for, because they did the right thing. So anyway, here we go on Sunday night. Bucks Commanders, if you're wondering about rookie quarterbacks in the playoffs, first of all, only three ever have won a road playoff game. Second of all, the last time a rookie won any playoff game was 2012. It was Russell Wilson, his rookie year, and it was when the Seahawks beat the then Redskins with RG3, Robert Griffin III, who was also a rookie. So the last time a rookie quarterback won a playoff game at all, it was against another rookie quarterback. And it hasn't happened since. And only three times has a road win happened for a rookie quarterback. None of this means that Jaden Daniels can't do it. I think he's special. And certainly, hey, that's going to be a tough one. All right? Bucks are going to have their hands full. But at least what – I mean – what we wanted to have happen on Sunday happened, right? Bucks won, clinched their berth, didn't end up needing it, but the Falcons did lose. Evans got his 1,000. And then, looking at the seeding, we knew if the Rams lost to the Seahawks, we'd get to play against the Commanders or the Packers instead of the Vikings, or the loser of that big Sunday night game, a 14-win team. Now, come Monday morning, or even Tuesday morning, because the Vikings play Monday night, maybe we'll change our tune. Maybe the Bucks will lose to the Commanders and the Rams go out there and thump a deflated Vikings team that got beat in their biggest game of the year and then had to fly cross-country. Maybe they lose again, and maybe the Rams win and we lose, and we say, hey, maybe the Rams were right all along to not worry about the seeding, and maybe they were right all along to just go out there and hand us the 3 seed. I mean, the Vikings have 14 wins. That doesn't mean they're necessarily a harder or easier team to beat than the Commanders. We just don't know. But I like this matchup for the Buccaneers. I'll put it that way. And either way, Sunday night, it's going to be rocking. If you're looking to go, tickets, I mean, there's a strong D.C. presence around here. It's not as bad as like Philly or New York, or if, you know, something like the Packers or the Bears or one of those types of teams was playing down here. But there's a decent D.C. presence, so I think a lot of those people are trying to buy some tickets. But tickets aren't, they're more than they should be. And really that's because of the fees, which, by the way, I don't have a media credential. I always say I'm a fan, excuse me, just like everybody else. I'm going to buy my tickets. I do plan to go on Sunday because I've been to every single home playoff game in the history of this franchise except one. I didn't go to the Cowboys game a couple years ago. But I plan on being there on Sunday night. And I'm going to buy, what I'm trying to do, because I hate giving the money to these Ticketmaster, StubHub, SeatGeek, all of them. The price will be like $95 for a ticket. And I'm thinking like 10% or, you know, maybe even a 20% fee is reasonable. And the price goes from like $95 to $145 after you click on that little button that says show prices after fees. It's like more than half the damn ticket. price gets added on top of that for fees. That pisses me off. So I'd rather give it to one of you. So if anybody's got, I'm looking for as many as six, as four. I'm probably bringing four, five, or six people. So I need at least one block of four and maybe a pair as well. Email me, bobbygameday@yahoo.com. BobbyGameday@yahoo.com. If you want $100 for your tickets, I'd rather give you $100 than give some stranger $100 and then 50 more to damn Ticketmaster. Screw that. Pisses me off how they do that. But anyway, point is, if you want to go, it's not prohibitively expensive. Should be really nice weather on Sunday night. It always is this time of year. I know it's been chilly this week, which I could, not my cup of tea. I could do without. It's going to get warmer over the weekend a little bit, though, so that'll be nice. But either way, if you're not going, I mean, this is the playoffs. This is the essence of what I always say. I say it every week about using football and Bucks football in particular as an excuse to be close to people, invite people over, friends, family, watch the game with some buddies. Don't sit there alone on the couch texting your friend, hey, what a great play, when you could be sitting next to each other watching it, you know? Get some food, have whatever, just set something up. Do that, and it's a great chance to do it this weekend if you're not already going to the game. But either way, again, it's playoff football. It's not, hey, we'll get them next week. Hey, we'll go look at some film and fix some things. Someone's season is going to end on Sunday night. We hope it's not ours, but either way, one of the very best weekends of the year. Wild card weekend. Enjoy every bit of it, all six games. And we got the college football playoffs. One game tonight. I'm, again, recording on Thursday. Another one Friday. Five straight days of meaningful football, folks. So enjoy it all. And once again, thank you for listening. Thanks to the Joes for giving me this platform. JoeBucksFan.com, the single best place anywhere, TV, internet, radio, for Bucks coverage. Not just during the playoffs or the regular season, but year-round. Thanks to them for putting me on their site. I'm Bobby Fenton. That's the Wild Card Weekend edition of the Free Stretch. We'll be back next week, hopefully talking about the divisional round. I hope. But either way, until then, enjoy the game, and wherever you are, good morning, good afternoon, good night, and go Bucks.